All Tennessee Tech classes are officially online. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, this was a very special week in Tennessee Tech history as all classes moved online for the first time in the history of the university. The move was prompted by COVID-19 in order to keep faculty and students safe while maintaining the academic integrity of the university. Lori Bruce, the provost and the chief academic officer at Tennessee Tech, joins us to talk about this unprecedented change in class structure. So, Dr. Bruce, have you ever been in a situation like this before?
I can honestly say no. I can honestly say this is a first.
You know, a few weeks ago when it really started looking like Tennessee Tech was going to go with its classes online, being the chief academic officer, I'm sure there was, a lot of things that you had to start doing at that point.
Yes, there were. And I think we were, you can call it lucky or unlucky, to have the scare in January where we thought we might have a student with coronavirus. Turned out, very fortunately, we did not. But because of that, many of us in academic affairs had already kind of unraveled in our mind where that could have led. Sure. And while we weren't clairvoyants, there's no way we could have predicted we would have kind of, societal shutdown internationally. We did at least explore in our minds and start planning for what if we had to convert to online mid-semester. And so even, I would say, early around March 1, which seems like a lifetime ago now, we started really updating, all of the colleges started updating their continuity of operations plans. Who's essential personnel? Who would need to be on campus? For example, in the College of Ag and Human Ecology, we have animals. We have to feed the animals. We can't just be 100% online. Exactly. Very expensive equipment that has to be manned calibrated, for example, ever so often. And so we really went back during those first couple of weeks of March. We updated our continuity of operation plans. We created what are called, we had never had these before, continuity of instruction plans. And so we started creating plans for exactly how would we ensure that our students continued to receive the instruction they needed if we had a major kind of outbreak on campus or for some reason we had to close campus. The other thing we did was during that exercise, and I kept saying, this is just an exercise in preparedness. Yeah. Well, little did I know it would turn out to be a reality. But during those exercises, we identified gaps in some of our software, our hardware infrastructure, just having enough mobile devices for faculty to have to take home. And we started shoring up that. So I feel like as tough as that kind of that scare was in January, it helped prepare us to think along these lines so that we weren't 100% caught off guard when this happened.
In the last couple of weeks has been spring break. You know, we had an extra week of extended spring break, which I guess was probably good because that gave Tennessee Tech an extra week to get prepared. So during those 2 weeks of spring break, where, a lot of times people are out vacationing, doing other things, a lot of folks were getting ready for classes going online.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I saw very little change. Of course, the students weren't here, mm-hmm. but in terms of faculty and staff, virtually everyone was here. Mm-hmm. We called it all wings on deck.
Yeah.
And it was true. It was a very fluid week. Mm-hmm. I would find myself at times writing emails, and literally by the time I finished the email, the situation had changed.
Yeah.
The president had come out, president of the United States, had come out with some statement that changed things.
Right.
And so it was very fluid. But the one thing we did know was we knew that we were going to online instruction.
Yeah.
So I can't speak highly enough about Yvette Clark, mm-hmm. the CIO the chief technology officer for campus,
right.
Director of ITS, and Bedelia Russell. She's a professor. Dr. Russell is a professor of nursing, and she happens to be the director of our Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning.
Yeah.
And that is where we house a lot of resources to help faculty teach online.
Right.
The two of them and many other people on campus really stepped up, and I told them, I said, you're showing up and showing out, you know, you are shining right now.
Yeah.
They really led efforts. And over that 2 week period, we had, we have 681 faculty or instructional staff on this campus. When we count GA, graduate assistants, and TAs and everybody, 681.
Wow.
96% of them went through some type of training during that 2 week period.
That's incredible.
So CITL immediately converted all their face to face training to online training, to protect everyone, created online videos, tutorials, and so did ITS. And so even if a faculty member had planned to be away for spring break and had already traveled, they still got their training, they got their stuff ready, they started preparing their course while they were off-site.
Right.
And so during those 2 weeks, there were many faculty and staff truly working almost around the clock to ensure we were ready for a smooth transition when the students, quote-unquote, returned on March 30th.
Well, now here we are, the first week of online instruction, and how's it been going?
You know, there's going to be bumps in the road no matter what. Mm-hmm. There's going to be hiccups. But other than some small bumps, you know, it has been very, very smooth, remarkably smooth. I have a closeout debrief in the evening with the deans, and I have with my immediate team in the provost office and with the director of ITS and the director of the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning. And so I'm hearing from them firsthand kind of what's happening on the front lines.
Sure.
And it has been remarkably smooth, which is a testament to not just the faculty and staff, but the students. A lot of students did a lot of stuff during that second week of spring break to prepare so that they were ready just as much as the faculty were. I heard from many faculty were doing like dry runs and test runs of the technology during that second week of spring break. And some of them had 100% participation from the students in their class.
Wow.
The student wanted to know that everything was going to go smoothly when we returned.
Right.
So it is a testament to everyone as to how well this has transitioned during the last couple of days.
And I don't think people really understand the turnaround time and the effort it takes to get 10,500 students online all at one time with, you know, 681 faculty. But we've done it.
I know. And who would have thought, right? Yeah. I mean, it shows that when we're put to the test, you know, we really do exhibit what's in the vision statement and the mission statement of this university.
Yeah.
We're creative, we're analytical, we're problem solvers, and we're tenacious.
Right.
And so we're going to have bumps along the way, but I have no doubt we're going to end the semester strong, and we're going to end the semester absolutely with our wings up.
So where do we go from here?
You know, this is going to change not just Tennessee Tech for the future. This is going to change higher ed.
Yeah.
And I feel like the higher ed card deck right now, all the universities, our cards have just kind of been thrown up in the air. And my goal is to make sure we land face up and we land in a position where we're stronger than we've ever been. Mm-hmm. And we're already showing that. I would never wish this situation on anyone.
Yeah.
But it is going to make us a better university. Our instruction is stronger. Our tenacity of our students is stronger.
Yeah.
The resilience of our students is stronger. You know, we're going to end this as a much stronger institution. And I think that now that faculty and students are experiencing firsthand some of the benefits of some of the online technologies, I think we're going to see those a little bit more widespread used on campus. Even if we have a face-to-face course, say 2 years from now.
Right.
I see that these tools being much more widely used because they are beneficial to the students and to the faculty. You know, to be able to deliver some of your content through online mechanisms and then reserve your face-to-face time for more deeper interactions. You know, so the lecture might be delivered in a different way and we reserve our class time for more discussion and thoughtful interactions. You know, that benefits the students for sure. And I think we were already strong, obviously, in our instruction, but I think this is going to just make us much stronger for years to come.
Dr. Lori Bruce, the provost here at Tennessee Tech, thanks so much for being with us. We got more Tennessee Tech Today coming up right after this.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, in order for Tennessee Tech classes to go online, faculty had to familiarize themselves with just how to do that. And they were able to do that with the help of Tech's Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. Padilla Russell is the interim director of the CITL.
Yeah, so the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning is the primary support for faculty on campus to learn how to teach better and improve their teaching and improve student learning. And so it's a service that's been here. It's been in place for a while now. We have experts in online teaching. We have resources. And so what's happened the last few weeks is just figuring out how to scale that at a pretty rapid pace and support faculty who have no experience with online and alternate delivery of education and remote teaching to those who are pretty skilled at it. We have been very impressed with faculty who showed up the Monday after the announcement, who have been teaching here at Tech for 30, 35 plus years and said, help me, show me how to do this, because they were just so concerned about their students and making sure that they were successful. We have faculty power users that have stepped up, is what we're calling them, across all colleges and divisions. There's 23 of them who have just blown us away in supporting us at the center. Because we are a small staff, but supporting their colleagues. They have done departmental trainings. They have been doing one-on-one consultations and showing up here up until this past week to help us with drop-ins and walk-ins. And so it's been exciting. It's been busy, and we're just trying to just really reassure faculty to be flexible. Be realistic about what can happen over these few weeks, and overall a general excitement, I think, about this transition.
That's Padilla Russell, the interim director of the CITL. Thanks so much for being with us. We got more Tennessee Tech Today coming your way.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. With Tech taking its classes online, that means fewer people on campus, and that is quite a change for auxiliary services and Director Carrie Demery. And so what all falls under auxiliary services?
Great question. Auxiliary services, we have a lot of different campus services for students. I oversee dining services, bookstore, vending on campus, mail services, and I also handle our risk assessment here.
So what has your job been like in the last few weeks?
Nonstop. I have to watch the news every day. I have to hear what they're saying. I have to work with all of the different units to ensure that we're meeting the standards. As we know, they have changed. Every day something new comes out, and so we just have to be on top of it, and we all have to be communicating. While we're social distancing, we have to be communicating a lot. So it's been a challenge, but I think it's taught me a lot, and it's prepared me potentially for the future, which I think is good. And, something we have to remember, we're part of history right now.
Right.
What we're experiencing, we're making history. This hasn't been, nobody has experienced it on this scale before, something like this. So it's just taking it day by day and knowing we're all in this together.
So what do you think, what part of auxiliary services have you had to adjust the most?
really, dining services, bookstore, and mail are all of my top concerns. Mm-hmm. Vending services, they just do what they do, you know? So we're wiping down all the vending and keeping them sanitized. But dining services, we have to feed people. We still have students living on campus. We still have some faculty and staff on campus, a small few, but some. And so we need to be available to feed those individuals. Mail services, I think, is kind of the unsung hero because they are fully operational. We still need to receive mail. We still need to send out mail.
Sure.
Our business operations are still running. So, you know, you don't really see them or think about them, but they're there. They're receiving your packages. They're getting mail to our students. Our students are able to send out mail still. Same with faculty and staff and other departments. So, their operations have not changed much as far as scheduling, but they have put in place several new sanitation requirements, social distancing with the staff, spreading out their schedules, keeping them apart from each other, wiping down mail and different packages as it comes in. So we're working to do that and try to curb the spread of the virus right. in any way we can from the mail services perspective. But like I said, they're really kind of in the background and we forget about them, but they're there.
Yeah. You know, you always prepare for anything, but how do you ever prepare for something like this?
You don't. I will tell you, I have grown closer to a lot of my colleagues at other universities through this experience. We're bouncing ideas off of each other because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, Tech's a little bit unique because we went right from, you know, a devastating tornado into this COVID environment. And so that is unique to Tech, mm-hmm. but not something that we're not able to overcome and handle. But I have been reaching out to my colleagues across the nation to see what they're doing with their auxiliary services and the solutions that they're coming up with. And that's really the best way, I think, to do it, because we're all trying, we're failing, we're trying again,
yeah.
and we're learning from our experiences through this. So.
And what about your staff?
So I have staff in parking services. We have reduced their presence on campus, so we only ever have one person in the office at a time. Mm-hmm. And we're working through that schedule just so that we make sure that we're all maintaining, you know, safe procedures.
Sure. Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, I just want to say that our auxiliary services are here for the students and the staff and the community. And so we want to make sure that everybody knows that we're thinking about them. We're trying to come up with solutions for them while also maintaining, you know, the different sanitation, cleaning, different procedures by CDC, and keeping our staff safe in these auxiliary units as well. So work with us through that, just like we're going to be working for you.
Well, eating on campus has also changed because of COVID-19, and to tell us about the effect it has had on dining services is Kristen Smith, the marketing director for Chartwell's Higher Education. So what is going on these days?
That is a great question. What is going on? Craziness, it seems. But with us, we are really adhering to all of the rules and the things that they're really wanting us to do. So here in the CAF, especially with dining services, in the CAF, we have designated meal periods. And during those periods of time, in the morning, our breakfast is from 7:30 to 9. Then we have a lunch period from 10:30 to 1, and then a dinner from 5 to 6:30. We made these meal periods at these times so that way in between we can do some deep disinfecting, wiping down all, you know, frequently touched surfaces, and then making sure that we're just being as clean as possible. And then also during those meal periods, we've made it so that it's takeout only. Students can come in, but our staff do serve them. It's not a self-serve operation. And then they take their food and they can leave. They, you know, it's not a sit down. And we also have Chick-fil-A open right now as well. And it's the same way there. It's no sit down. It's, you know, all takeout. They come in, but we have condensed hours there as well. So we're open there from 7:30 to 6.
So from a catering perspective, I'd say this time of year you'd usually be catering several events. So what have you done in lieu of that? I mean, what happens now that you're not catering events?
So with catering, actually April is our busiest month of the year.
Wow.
With all of our end of the year banquets and the things that are going on during that period, it's a really big time for us. So during this time, you know, we're really just taking the time to, you know, put essential practices into place, you know, making training guides, things like that, doing things that we can implement come the fall semester to really continue to grow our catering program from there.
Yeah. What will you continue to do throughout the semester, maybe even into the summer?
So throughout the semester into the summer, we're just, you know, deep cleaning, organizing, doing the best that we can to make sure that, you know, fall semester is going to come around full circle, and it's going to come around really fast, faster than we know. In the summer, you know, we're not sure how summer camps are going to work and if we're going to have, you know, orientation, but we're preparing that if that's the case, if that happens, we're preparing for those. And then making sure that once fall comes around, you know, everything is 100% ready to go because we have the extra time to make sure that everything's in place. So another really good opportunity that we were able to do, we have a thing called Good Goes Round, and it's an event that we do in the spring where we actually get a big shipment in and like Cheerios and a bunch of our sponsors, they sponsor snacks for us to do, and we build what we call matter boxes. Usually this is a big event. It happens in the back patio. We have invite the president to come. We invite a lot of our deans and associates to come and help build this. We invite students. And it's just a fun day where we have music and we're building these boxes to provide to people that have, you know, insufficient meals. They're not able to get, you know, food the way that, you know, some of us are really privileged to have. So we weren't able to do that event, sadly, because of what's going on. But we were able to take that and use it for another good cause. So we actually donated all of the matter boxes, 200 of them, to Life Church, as well as extra things that we had around that, you know, couldn't be used or that were going to go out of date because of us not really being full in session.
Sure.
And so we took those over to Life Church, and they were able to go and distribute them to elderly throughout the community that, you know, maybe doesn't need to leave their home or can't go to the store. And so it was something really good that we were able to take an opportunity that we didn't get to do, but use it for a better opportunity and something even just as good. So we were really glad to be able to do that. Another really big measure that we're taking to keep, you know, our community members safe, our, you know, our campus safe and our associates safe is we're actually going to be offering coming soon curbside delivery right here out front of the UC for Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
So we all actually have a menu where they can pull right up. We'll have people out there. They can order and then we'll bring the food up and then it'll just be so they don't ever actually have to get out of their car. It's something that we feel like is an, even an extra measure of safety and precaution that we can take to follow CDC guidelines and the social distancing that we can the best that we can. And we feel that that's going to be really hopeful, successful, and the people will be able to utilize that and not feel like they need to get out to go into an establishment to eat.
Sam Holm is the resident district manager for Chartwells. So I would think that there probably isn't as much food being produced these days.
No, that's really our hardest part for us because we're used to feeding 4,000 to 5,000 people every day in all our various locations. So lots going on, food trucks coming into our back dock, bringing food in. And right now we are a tenth of that. If we feed 300 people a day, it's a busy day now. So it's really retraining our staff to cook for a very small number. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was joking with one of the cooks that they were making scrambled eggs in a small fry pan this morning instead of one of our big grills.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing eggs for 200, 300, 400. We're doing eggs for 20, 30 now. So I was joking with them, do you even know how to cook eggs for, you know, in a small fry pan? So definitely adjusting ourselves, our cooking levels, definitely ordering. Our last order we brought in was a little over $800. Normally it'd be around $6,000-$7,000.
Yeah.
And that's 3-4 times a week. So it's definitely a transition and a change for all of us.
So where do you see this what kind of effect do you see this having on, you know, the cafeteria and the food services?
I think there'll be a strong look at how much self-service is going to be allowed to come back.
Mm-hmm.
What does end of August look like when the students, staff, everybody comes back? What changes, adjustments will need to be made in food service? I don't foresee a lot of changes in retail because almost everything we do there is put in a bag and you head to the dining room or you leave anyway. So I don't see a lot of changes there, but definitely in our CAF, I could see some changes there as far as does pizza say self-serve or not? What procedures need to go into place to adjust that? We have several locations within our CAF that are not self-served. Our pasta we make for you, our innovations with Mongolian we make for you, etc. But there's still the hotline, the main line that is self-served. And so those, I could see those changes being made there where it is a served style. So I do see adjustments in the overall and an overall effect to the CAF moving forwards in August.
So has there ever been a point where there's been this few number of people on campus that you've had to feed this few?
I've been doing this for over 32 years, almost 33 years. I've never seen anything even close to this. We always have our ups and downs. I call this kind of seasonal work a little bit, because you still have your summers that flex, Christmas time flexes, things like that. But never to the extent we've seen right now. As Kristen just mentioned, April is an extremely busy catering time for us.
Right.
And now it's not. May is, even though we shut down, is we have about a week off, but then it's very busy because Boys State comes in. And that's 500-600 young men that come in there, and very busy for that week there because of a vast number. And then SOAR kicks in and summer camps kick in. So it's usually something of some different levels, never to the extent of, well, we had 15 people come in for breakfast.
Yeah. Well, how's everybody been handling this? I'm sure everybody just has to pull together and do the best they can.
It really is. It's more the individual handling it, the stress of taking care of the students and the population correctly, making sure we're not doing anything to increase the effects of coronavirus, making sure we're doing everything we can to sanitize, as Kristen said, and wipe things down, and making sure that we're doing our part in those areas. So when a student does come in, it's as safe as possible for them to get their food, nutritious food, hot food, and then they leave. So really those kind of things to make sure we're doing our part in protection and hopefully making it better, and so we can get to this bubble and start seeing a decrease and get back to normal as fast as we can. I mean, we'd love to be seeing summer camps here soon. We'd love to be seeing SOAR soon. So we'll just have to wait and see what all happens, like everybody else.
All right. Thanks for being with us, Sam.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the TT website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, and confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.